Check, check, check. All right. Hey, my microphone works. I remembered to turn the volume on before we went live this time. That's something I don't do every time. And you only catch that if you catch it on the live streams, because you're not going to see it, obviously, on a podcast. And if I ever get around to editing, I edit that kind of stuff out. Sometimes I come on and all of you see is, you know, and you won't get that unless you're watching the live stream. You can catch Revolution Radio live streams on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook Live, and on Twitch now. And we're all over the place. We have got bigger and better things coming at you. And that's because of our editorial board. Our editorial board, they meet at least once a month. But we have a bunch of other little kind of subdivisions of the editorial board happening already. I mean, it's not even like a full month old yet. And already people are starting to participate in things like giving feedback on these shows and creating their own segments for shows and learning how to create media and learning how to support grassroots activism through media. So the editorial board members already have a lot to do. And today their money has helped sponsor this special report with comrades Justin Roig from the Young Greens. How you doing, brother? And our sister Kate Manacchio from Movement for a People's Party, both in New Jersey. I know we're national now, but you know, no place like home, right? How you doing, comrades?
Good.
Doing pretty all right.
Good. So the reason why we're doing our special report today, and I thank everybody, and if you're watching, hopefully share us out on Valentine's Day. If we're all with people that we love, you know, happy Valentine's to everybody. I want to thank you for tuning in. And the reason why we're here on a special report is to talk about, from a leftist perspective, and from for this panel, three people that have been involved in the third party movement, as to what the consequences of yesterday's Senate acquittal of Donald Trump for, which my initial, I mean, nobody was surprised. But I think after I paid a lot of attention to it, I was watching the trial. I was watching the testimony. I saw how terrible. And I'll tell you, you know, the media reports of how bad the defense was. It wasn't blown out of proportion. It was pathetic. I mean, it was just absolute joke. You know, Mitch McConnell, after voting to acquit, gets on and makes a big show of how bad it was. Well, you just let him get away with it. I mean, that's I think everybody in the country's reaction was, don't give me this line of shit after you just invited it to happen again. So, I mean, and that's really the dangerous message of it, you know, and that's where I'm at right now. I don't know what kind of questions we're asking, you know, either in the Green Party or in Movement for a People's Party as to what this means going forward. I guess the impact on elections is just one aspect. And to me, is a minor aspect, because I'm more worried about violence, actual shootings and violence happening over the next 4 years. And it's all because of the cowardice, the absolute gutless, cowardly act of 43 people who clearly don't give a fuck even about their own lives. Now, usually you say, hey, all these people only give a fuck about themselves. They don't even give a fuck about themselves, apparently. It's mind-blowing. Justin, what do you
mean?
My question to the young people is the sense of history there for you that you're, you know, you've only been on the planet for 20 years or so in your peer group, right? I mean, do you get how massively historic the times you're living in are right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, and this is, say there's a joke I've been telling for a while. I can tell my children I lived through a pandemic, a coup attempt. And just, it's quite insane to think what's gone on in the past 2 years, past year. And what it kind of shows to me, just in my lifetime, I remember when I was very young, I have very few memories of this, when Obama was sworn in. And during the whole Bush era, the two parties are very much, the Democrats and the Republicans have just gone further and further to the right. The Democrats have tried to maintain the center line. The Republicans have gone further and further to the right. The establishment of the Republican Party of 2016, and what I would say the establishment of the Republican Party of 2020, is that the Republican Party of 2016 is very much your Mitt Romneys, your Jeb Bushes, et cetera, et cetera. Now the establishment, at least the people that have control within the Republican Party, within the Republicans' supporter base, as well as the alt-right, your kind of non-conservative alt-right fascists, is Donald Trump and the alt-right in general. They've been allowed to get away with... There were black men in suits that couldn't go up four steps onto the Capitol just to take a picture. And you see what happens there. And to me, we've already discussed the double standard, but it just goes to show to me who's actually in power. Because look, Mitch McConnell said that he had supported impeachment, rather lukewarmly, but he did. And he can't even look at what the party did. And it also shows that you do not need to have a logical, cohesive, or consistent argument as long as you, A, have power within a sheer number of votes, and B, your name is Donald John Trump. It's because when you saw the argument made by his lawyers, they were inconsistent, and generally they were literally made fun of and laughed at by congressmen. And it's, again, it just goes to show how far to the right the discourse in general has been, how far to the Overton window that has been moved to the right.
I have been, and I can tell you that I have been ultra triggered by what I've saw gone on, because it's similar to what I saw not only in my own personal experience, but in representing working people under union contracts where there's arbitration processes and grievance processes. And I have seen absolute dog shit end people's careers simply because nobody really wanted to stand up and do the right thing.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid of, and what I've been afraid of since Trump took office, is that everybody, and what has really happened is everybody's targeting Trump. Everybody's made Trump the devil or the god, right? Is this polarizing narcissist? But that problem existed in our society before Trump. And I saw it in labor representation in these grassroots movements when I was fighting for $15 an hour, I don't know, what, 8 years ago? And they're just getting around to making it happen in 8 years from now. I mean, I saw this and it's been and I'm still, and by not removing Donald Trump from the picture here, I mean, it just keeps going downhill. Kate, I mean, Movement for People's Party is out there. And I know the argument's coming now. We gonna have this argument if Trump's involved, that the third parties are spoilers. Greens have heard it all the time. You know, I guess I'd like to hear first, I guess your initial reaction. Was it any different than anybody else's, or and now that we've had some time to process it, where do we head as leftists and third parties?
Well, I'm only speaking for me. There's so much other stuff happening within MPP right now, but my belief is that, one, I was not surprised that he was acquitted, but what a lot of people may not realize, or maybe they do, because we know mostly progressive people who look at the real news. So Mitch McConnell agreed to the impeachment. The Congress sent over the articles of impeachment to the Senate, but Mitch had shut it down on purpose and didn't open it until inauguration, when Trump was no longer in office. So then his argument was, well, he's not in office, so you can't impeach him. So he set that up like this. And this is what he has done. Like, a lot of people like to focus on Donald Trump, but Mitch McConnell is a real evil turtle. Let me tell you, he does this kind of shit all the time. How many bills sat on his desk for all those years and never got brought up for a Senate vote, you know, including, you know, 15 an hour or whatever, you know, whatever. Nothing that was progressive or the Democrats wanted would he even bring to the floor for a vote. So, and he's done this sneaky stuff before. So to your face, he says, sure, we support an impeachment trial, send us the articles, but shuts down the Senate so that the Senate can't accept the articles and doesn't reopen the Senate until Trump is no longer in office. And then his claim is, well, he's not in office, so you can't impeach, which they make this shit up anyways. So, you know, but that's how he plays the game. And what I'm tired of is Democrats who fall for shit year after year, after year, after year, after year, you know, like we all know what a sneaky bastard he is, you know? So why not, when he says, okay, you can send us the articles, say, well, do you get, well, are you going to accept them? Are you going to, you know, let this go forward, whatever, whatever. And then to, after it's all over, to say that Trump was guilty. Like, what a piece of shit, you know, morally and whatever, you know, his speech afterwards, whatever.
What I'm worried about is, and is this, and what you saw on display here was this ability of people in power to use bureaucracy and kind of like this tangled web of legal limbo to make a case for anything. I mean, Ronald Reagan famously said facts are stupid things. And, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, look, I hate to, you know, get too much into it, but I saw this happen to me. I saw somebody construct a ridiculous narrative that kept changing based on who they were talking to. And it was lying in plain sight. It was lying in plain sight. And it worked. It worked. I'm out of a job now because somebody didn't like me and they were powerful and they had lawyers enough to just make a fucking mess out of everything. Yeah. And I saw this happen, and I saw this happen to other people. I saw, you know, somebody get terminated for a case where the bosses knew he was, you know, doing something. He was doing, I don't want to get too far because, you know, I don't want to give any details about somebody's life, but I'll just say the bosses knew he was doing something wrong for years and then decided to fire him one day, you know, and rather than just coming to him and saying, hey, knock it off. Like, you know, and I lost that case, you know, and that guy lost his job, and it's, you know, and it was all because they built up this case of he was doing this for years and years and years and years. And then they said, but we never knew about it. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out. He got away with it. You know, and so, you know, but so it was lying right to everybody's face. I could see it even sometimes in the, like, the determining judge's face. Like, they would snicker, like the defense, the prosecution would say something and everybody in the room would be like, it was that ridiculous. And that was the same thing that we saw. It was, their defense was that ridiculous. It really was.
Yeah. Brian, if I can just step in there, it doesn't really matter how truthful, how consistent a narrative is. As long as that narrative is strong and you can plant it into people's minds. The Republicans and the Democrats, the elected officials, are people that do not have moral conviction. They do not have what we would consider a moral compass. Because no way in hell can you live that kind of life doing what they do without feeling a general sense of empathy or compassion. But they're already going to vote how they want. But a lot of people, even in my own community, still believe that Donald Trump won the election. Right. And it's because that narrative, Donald Trump, call him, as I call him, President Agent Orange, call him an idiot, call him whatever you want. He's pretty intelligent in one respect. And that respect is he knows the power of a lie and the power of a narrative. And once you contradict that narrative that people have in their mind, no matter how true the evidence or information you bring to them is, they're not going to believe it. They're going to double down. And there's studies that have shown that the same part of the brain that when corrected is that the same feeling that is activated is the same part of the brain that responds to pain. So they're only going to double down. And it is such effective brainwashing on the part of Donald Trump and Trumpism. And I think his defense was able to benefit from this greatly. Because there's still going to be a bunch of Proud Boys and Boogaloo Boys or whatever, insert militia here, that will believe that. And just average people as well who are so desperate that they are very willing to go along with this. And, I was just going to say one more thing. And it was interesting to see Nancy Pelosi actually somewhat criticize Mitch McConnell for once. And the amount of energy she put into that, if she put that into getting us $2,000 recurring stimulus checks, hell, even just one stimulus, they know what opposition looks like, and they choose not to because they could care less. They are one out of touch and realize this, and I believe they realize this and don't frankly care because their bottom line is fine. But the most annoying thing to me is that they fail at convicting Donald Trump and acquit him, and then they want to go on a break for Valentine's Day whilst they still haven't gotten us our $2,000 check. Get to work.
They you know, at least the Democrats did the right thing and voted in a block for the right way for once. you know, but and look, and Justin, you and I are both, and Kate, we're people that have been, I mean, spend more time hammering the Democrats than anybody else. I mean, yes. But it, I do think it is, for once we can turn our attention to the Republican Party and say, geez, it's a terrorist organization. I mean, it's endorsed terrorist political violence and terrorist activity in our own country. I mean, it's nothing short of that.
Yep.
And to reconcile with that, now to your point of changing your mind is hard. You're a very smart young man, and I really wish we had Dr. Letitia Sampson. She got to check her DMs if she's listening right now, because I'm trying to get her on a show to talk about what's going on with the psychology of our country right now. Because we also have to start thinking about the Republican Party as not a political party, but in fact, what's becoming an opposition army, which becoming a violent force that is demanding to be recognized through murder, political murder and political violence. It's not what we're taught America is, but it's a reality. And I don't know how long it's going to take our brains to catch up with that reality. It may take a generation or two. That's what I'm afraid.
It may take longer, because you know what? You know who's complicit in this? Everybody in the mainstream media. They never called out his lies. For 5 years, we listened to him lie, and they never called him out on it. The Democrats went along with it because they're supported by the same corporatists. So they never pushed it hard enough, because they didn't want to upset their bank accounts. You know, the money that they're getting from the same people that the Republicans are getting money from. And so, you know, so we've all been forced. Fed these, I mean, so Justin, I'm guessing you weren't born yet for 9/11, but you know, after 9/11, when Bush kept talking about weapons of mass destruction, I'm like, there was no proof before we ever went after him. From the first time he said it, I'm like, there was no proof. There was no proof. There was no proof. And he kept slipping it into the conversation. And that's all that people would hear. Oh, they have weapons of mass destruction. They didn't. They did not have weapons of mass destruction. And we started wars over lies, and we continue to start wars over lies, because people listen to mainstream media, corporate owned, corporate Democrats, corporate Republicans. And this is why we're in the mess we're in. And so what did you think you were opening up? You know, Bernie Sanders said it, you know, back with the when we open up this can of worms. And it's been, you know, when you supported the teabaggers and oh my God, every time I say that word, I just laugh, but because they don't know what that means. But and then what did they think that was going to turn to? When you let this out of a bag, you can't get it back in. And so this is what it has progressed to, and the kind of violence. And then you take with how police react to Black Lives Matter movements, as opposed to how they react to white protests. And I call them, they're not protesters, they're terrorists. You know, they're white, extremist terrorists. And it all fits into this. It's how we got here. You can't even look at just like money in politics anymore, or mainstream media doesn't tell the truth, and nobody knows what a real journalist is anymore. You know, they all repeat the same talking points, because they're all owned by the same 7 or 8, what is it, corporations across the world own all the news media outlets. There used to be a law against that. There was
Disney
a law
against that. Disney owns ABC and they own Fox. They're playing both sides.
And Bezos owns the Washington Post. And yeah, I'm sorry.
Great time to support independent media. Absolutely. By going to www.njrevolutionradio.com. That's like New Journalism Revolutionradio.com, njrevolutionradio.com, and making a donation or coming on board and being an editorial board member. I'm just saying, that just came to mind. Justin, you had something to say? I'm sorry.
Well, I was only going to say that essentially, if you want to look at a historical precedent for this, I saw a lot of people say, oh, the burning of the Reichstag in Germany in 1933. No, I wouldn't say we're there yet. I'd say it was the beer hall push to 1924, which is essentially the first time the Nazi party had attempted a coup, which was in Munich, in Bavaria. And they tried to take over, and they failed. They ultimately failed, but caused a lot of damage and violence. And they essentially were allowed to get away with it. What's going on now? And also, another reason that the Nazis had came to power was because the SA was allowed to assist police in curtailing political violence. Kyle Rittenhouse, ring a bell. Yeah. The old quote is, you know, if you do not learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat it. And I fear very much that we're setting a new much more dangerous precedent than what was set in 1924 and 1933. Because in America, in the 21st century, is obviously a different scenario. And also, we have the internet, which is where a lot of these people already organized. This whole thing was organized on a Facebook group. So it's honestly a scary sign that if this is how we're starting off this decade, it only goes to show what could be coming next, if not kept in check.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This just leads to more. When they don't, this is all I've said for weeks now. If they're not held accountable, it just opens the door for more, because that's the only way people ever change, is if there's a price to pay for their actions, and there's been no price. I don't know how many people who, you know, are not Donald Trump are going to get prosecuted, and to what extent. I haven't heard very big charges being brought against anybody yet, but then I've also heard that they're really building some cases against some of those people, but I don't know. And you know, and this is him getting away with this, and it's just mine. You know, I've been around for the white hair Israel a long time. Okay. I can't believe how many times I say in a week, like, I can't believe this, you know, I should be believing this by now, you know, but I can't fucking believe it. It's horrendous. And so if you want to go back to now, Donald's going to start his own party and split up the Republicans. That works for me. Not for them to win, but it works for me if they can split them up, you know, but I really don't want it to go to that. You know, I'd rather that they were held accountable and
whatever he does is going to be financed and have millions of people supporting him. I mean, there's, you know, people say, well, 70 million people voted for that guy. That's scary. Not 70 million people will support an army that is going to overthrow the United States government. Right. But a few million of them will, and a few million of them will give money. And that's a lot of resources,
and a few million of them are heavily armed.
It's crazy that the level that they've gotten to, and this kind of, now I'm glad we're having this conversation, because it actually poses a real question in my mind when we're talking about whether we can accept, you know, the new political reality and deal with it. I guess, you know, the are we going to do it before they actually start just murdering people outright? I mean, do we get to the point of where Germany was? Bring up Nazi Germany, which I think the comparisons are fair. I think the rise of Hitler and the rise of Trump have stark parallels. What I fear is why America is so much of a worse fascist state is because it doesn't have the outward component against, you know, a genocide against a particular set of people. They have a lot of racism and things against immigrants and that stuff, but there was serious targeting of one particular group, the Jewish people in Nazi Germany, although others were affected. And, you know, we don't need to get off on how gay people were also, we know, but there was the public advocacy against the Jewish people was clearly made a target. And this is more spread out fashion. Also, Germany was in economic ruins coming out of World War I and had to kind of build the fascist army from now, but we're not. We have the most enormous economic power the world has ever seen, coupled with a military that spends it all on our military. We may be in economic ruins for you and I, but our country's military and capitalist machine is still unmatched in this world. I mean, we talk about China and all that, but it's still nowhere near the level that our economy is. And so we have the economic power, quite frankly, and the military power above and beyond something the Nazis did. The Nazis never had a nuclear bomb. We have thousands. I mean, Jesus Christ. This is a recipe for an apocalypse.
Very much is. And
so on that note, have you found that? No, we have more time. We have more time. I just wanted to goddamn wait after that. All right.
It's funny that you mentioned that, though. Militarily, we are unmatched. Economically, we're unmatched. And yet, we can't get a we've been a year into this pandemic now, almost a year into this pandemic, and we still have not gotten a recurring stimulus.
Oh, and they're not even pushing for a recurring stimulus.
No. You
get a fucking $500 check, you know?
I read an article from ABC claiming that a $1,400 stimulus will be enough to supplant Americans to pay their taxes, pay their bills until mid-July.
Yeah.
That is, I don't want to swear on air, but it's bullshit.
Well, didn't you say what ABC was owned by Disney?
Yeah.
That's a fantasy, right?
Yeah, it is a fantasy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because,
and we have a young student here telling us this, but our government doesn't know it. And that's yeah. That's the disconnect and where,
They do know it. Let's just say they do know it, yes. But they don't want to acknowledge it, and they don't want it to be a part of the conversation. They don't want you to jump from this one check to monthly. That's why they won't even acknowledge it. So they're going to, and I can't believe that anybody would fall for the bullshit. But that's one of my biggest what the fuck. Sorry, what the fuck moment is how stupid people are. Are you really that fucking stupid? And the nerve of people to be able to lie to you day after day after day with this bullshit and to look themselves in the mirror. I told you, once you get me started, I wrote it on Facebook today. You're going to open this lid. I haven't come to you. Open this lid and I'm going to let it out. It's ridiculous. So people are stupid. They're uneducated. They don't want to learn. They don't even want to listen to somebody else's argument and go and research it for themselves. They just want to believe what they want to believe, and that's it. And to be allowed to think, to me, this election was the most witnessed election counting ever. And they believe that it was rigged and that we stole it from Trump. And 62 cases thrown out of court because he didn't produce one shred of evidence. People are like, they wouldn't hear our case. I'm like, because he didn't have any evidence. There was nothing to hear. You have to present evidence to have a court case. There was no evidence in his complaints. So there was nothing to hear. So they threw them out. Yes, that's how it works.
Well, again, it does not matter how logical or how consistent your argument is, as long as it is a strong enough narrative to be supplanted into people's minds. And as for average working class people that are falling for these, whether it be from bigotry or just sheer desperation and hopelessness, which unfortunately, as much as people don't want to realize, class is a major factor in this. A lot of the reason why Americans may not be thinking about that too much and just falling for that narrative is that they don't have time to think. When you're working 1, 2, 3 jobs, you do not have time to read Das Kapital. When you are that hopeless, whether it be you're from Youngstown, Ohio, or Vineland, New Jersey, or from some community like this, you are in a place with such economic depression, you are doing everything you can to survive, you do not have the time to do that. So obviously, these people are going to be very much vulnerable to these far right-wing ideologies, because it takes an ounce of truth of the media is lying to you, everything's written, yada, yada. There is an ounce of truth to this and spirals it completely to the wrong way, to the point where they're, and then it goes similar to Nazis. It's blaming the wrong damn people. It's blaming the poor. It's blaming immigrants. It's blaming black people, et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera. And when you have the working class fighting each other, as the great George Carlin once said, well, you have all the poor people fighting each other, the rich run off with all the effing money.
Yep. George was a smart dude, man.
Oh, yeah. But let me
Let me just say that Leah, our show writer, is coming in for the end of the show here. We have a few more minutes, so we can all get, I think, a couple of more minutes in here. And since Leah's with us, we'll give her a few minutes, too. And Kate will get right back to you. But for those of you that know, Leah writes for both NJRR Live and the Ida Vox Report here on Revolution Radio. So make sure you're subscribing to our YouTube channels and our Instagrams and our social medias things. Do I sound old or what, Kate? That's why we employ young people.
Maybe to Leah, but not to me.
I feel like someday she's gonna be like, have the pictures on the wall, and me and a couple of comrades will be sitting around, and she'll be that lady in the commercial. That's not how it works. Thanks, Leah, for coming in. Now, Kate, I didn't mean to derail too much.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Justin. Hi, Kate. Hi, Brian.
I just wanted to that, you know, most of Trump's followers, and there were people from New Jersey who went to D.C. on January 6th as well and have been arrested.
Plenty of police.
Most of them, most of Trump's supporters are from poor red states. So they're not even working one or two or three jobs. They, you know, like our state contributes, like, what do we get back on our dollar, tax dollars, our federal tax dollars, like 60 cents maybe? They get back for $1 putting in, they get back like three or four from the federal government. You know, so they're supported by the federal government. They're not working. They're buying Trump flags and big tires for their truck. They're not getting their dental taken care of. I'm sorry. You know, they don't, they, and, you know, Trump even said, when he saw them on TV that they, he wanted to disown some of them because they looked so, they did not look as he was hoping they would. But
because Trump does not like the fact that he actually has working class support, I don't think. He uses it when it's politically advantageous, but that's not the poster boy he wants to have. He wants to have, like, that the one guy from Illinois with the big house.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just ridiculous. You know, it's just, it's so fucked up. It's unbelievable. And that's, you know, what would you like?
Yeah. When you live in economic depression and you live in hopelessness, you'll believe just about anything. And if Trump confirms what you read, the small element of truth, like I said, if he confirms that,
yeah,
because I see that happen. I see that happen here.
Before we go, One more thing.
But they actually think he fulfilled his campaign promises from 2016. And I'm like, where? You know, like, they think he cleaned the swamp. Oh, my God. You know, so anyways.
People actually lost jobs in Ohio at auto plants during his presidency, which is a community-shattering event.
Okay, Brian, go ahead. Take control.
We really need to have a show. We really need to have a show with Dr. Sampson on psychology behind all these going on, and I promise you, I'm messaging her, I'm bothering the shit out of her. She's awesome. She's very busy, and I know she will be doing with us soon. But Leah, you did come in, and we want to get your thoughts and go around the room one more time before we sign off and sit down for dinner with our sweethearts, hopefully tonight, or with somebody whom you care about. I hope you do, even if you're not with somebody, reach out to a friend or something tonight. You know, it's nice to have some social contact, and the holidays is always a good excuse to reach out to somebody. So if you don't have somebody around tonight, reach out to somebody and have a conversation.
My parents got me.
Leah, what's going on at Rebel?
Aw, they're very cute. Oh, like
Yeah, they're from my parents.
They're very cute. Nice. What's going on over at Revolution Radio in our writing department? I don't.
Oh man, lots of things. It's exciting. So, as Brian said, I'm working. I'm writing for the Advox Report as well as NJRO Live. So that's every Tuesday night as well as every Wednesday night, and usually they go out the next day because I'm doing that writing. So you're able to find them on the website on intern. It would be Wednesday and Thursday. So that's really fun always to do. Ooh, is Brian frozen?
I'm sorry, you're getting a little broken up from a connection, so we'll make sure you get your thoughts in. Yeah, sorry about that. Justin, before we head out, man, you got a few minutes here. You don't have to rush through it, but if you have any more thoughts for us, and make sure you let us know how we can continue to support you and your work over there with the young eco-socialists.
I mean, I think I said about everything I need to say. I just wanted to say also to the defense, this don't matter. That clearly did not matter one bit, no matter how much they squabbled about it. And yeah, that's about all I got to say. You're welcome for the gag, Brian.
Who's that, the Constitution?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
No, Brian, was it the Constitution was a oily rag drunkenly scribbled by wealthy white
people. It's a colonial document. Nobody gives a fuck about that.
No, it's just funny because if Trump literally said,
apparently he doesn't even shit.
No, but if he literally got up there and said, like, oh, yeah, I incited them, like, people would be like, oh, no, he's not president anymore. Let's just not impeach him.
They would be completely fine with it if he said, no, I did incite them. I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
And his supporters would just completely still change the argument, and his legal defense would just go along with everything he said.
Yeah.
Well, and to me, absolutely. Even if they didn't him on inciting the riot, how about a dereliction of duty, not fulfilling the office of, you know, his duties as the president of the United States, not protecting the Capitol, not sending in the troops, you know, the National Guard to help the DC police, you know, that you know, it's just, you know, obvious, so obvious. And to be not guilty, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. That was, they never answered that. The defense just simply ignored, and when tried to ask directly, like, what was he doing for 2 hours? They just, hey, Black Lives Matter. Oh, look over here. Yeah. You know,
he was golfing at Mar-a-Lago.
I mean, it was really
he was golfing at Mar-a-Lago. That's what he was doing.
Well,
was
what else? They said that they were, that I think it was like his record low number of tweets day, something like that. Like, normally this guy is tweeting 24/7, and he wasn't even tweeting. You know, he was just in a room somewhere throwing a tantrum, whatever. You know, it was just
ridiculous. He was golfing at Mar-a-Lago. I keep telling you.
No, the reports were, I mean, in all seriousness, the reports were he was sitting there watching on TV, enjoying it. I mean, he was sitting there on TV, and when they were chanting, hang Mike Pence, he was fine with it. He didn't care. He thought he was getting what he wanted, and he got what he wanted in the Senate, and he keeps getting what he wants, just like most narcissists, quite frankly, most narcissists. Yeah. And it's a lesson to you when you got a bully boss. Just how far they'll go. I mean, this guy will not ever care. And he just, I mean, look at what just happened. Five people are dead, whether or not, like, cops or not. I didn't want any of them beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. They beat
suicide. Two more committed suicide. How sad is that?
Yeah. Didn't they kill someone in the American flag?
If I remember correctly. Yeah. I don't know that they actually killed somebody, but they were
one of them beating people. They were jabbing him with it. Controls.
Yeah. Again, ain't that symbolic?
I think
somebody lost an eye.
Right. Yes.
You know, and the man responsible is a hero and is going to be running for president again and a major political force in our country. It's not good.
Wait, it's so funny. People are saying, let's not impeach a president that's out of office. He can run again. That's why we have to impeach him.
Literally. Not only that, I want his as an ex-president, he gets $1 million a year. He gets secret security, you know, secret security to follow whatever what are they called again? I don't know.
He gets a chauffeur from the Secret Service. He gets Secret Service protection. Right. He still has the thing you tried to block Biden, as much as I hate that man, from, he still has access to daily briefings on the goings on that we don't hear about.
Well, Dustin, we don't have to worry about that. He never participated in one when he was president. No, I'm kidding. I know we do. Right. We could ask for it, but yeah.
Crazy. Thank you very much. I know we could be here all night, but like I said, we got to go. We got to thank our sponsors. Hey, listen, great job, America. Really, great job, America. You elected a group of brainwashed morons that can't stand up to one narcissist. Good job. We need you all to support Revolution Radio and independent media. The bottom line is we're a part of the solution. We're just a part of it. We need a better political, economic, and environmental system out there, but we also need better media. You can support us by making a one-time donation at www.njrevolutionradio.com or become an editorial board member. Get your thoughts in. Help us produce segments. Give me or Leah an email and let us know when your group is up to something. That way we can tell the world with you. I want to thank everybody who's already signed up. That's Kate, you're one of them. Bennett Zarofsky's another one of them. Daryl Lamont Jenkins from the Idabox Report. All y'all, thanks for supporting us. And we will see you on Tuesday night for the Idabox Report and Wednesday night for another episode of NJRR Live. Until then, I'll see y'all. And remember that the police can quit their jobs. Good night, everybody.